witnesses, the success of a subject's spiritual recall does not seem to depend upon their initial receptivity to hypnosis or the speed at which they attain certain depths within various stages of hypnosis. There are more reliable indicators for a good spiritual regression session. If we can assume that depth of trance is associated with the degree of disengagement from one's external environment, subjects who are at a level that suits them are going to be more engaged with their internal visions. They will have a more direct focus when responding to questions. This is highly desirable for concentration. If the subject appears to be free-associating or displaying vagueness in their responses, indicating too much of a conscious connection, the depth of trance is usually the cause. My LBL students, who are already professional hypnotherapists before they enter spiritual regression training, ask this question. If revivification produces more engagement in past life regression, does this also hold true for life between lives regression? I tell them not particularly, and explain why. Revivification means reliving a past event, rather than observing. When a subject is absorbed in active participation with a former body, all five senses are fully engaged in memory recall. I find that re-experiencing an existence in the spirit world does not require revivification for better results, because we are in a non-physical soul state. Certainly, being in a somnambulistic deep theta state can enhance disclosure all by itself. Even so, I do not find an observing mind, which is one characteristic of a lighter stage of hypnosis, to be restrictive in receiving information about the spirit world. In my judgment, subjects in a superconscious soul state are both mentally observing and participating. Still, spiritual regressionists need to pay close attention to trance depth. Deepening and visualization. As with induction, there are many fine hypnosis texts covering methods of deepening that I will not detail here except where applicability to spiritual regression is concerned. With LBL clients, I employ long guided imagery. Therefore, I don't deepen using the fractionation method of wakening and reinduction, nor pyramiding suggestions to create disorientation and sensory overload through misdirection. Rather than engaging in confusion techniques against defensive reactions, I will issue some challenges through body motor movement exercises and work with progressive relaxation. During periods within these stages of deepening, I will attempt to foster an out-of-body experience by the client in preparation for what lies ahead in their soul state. Since an immortal soul character is always part of your subject's psyche, regardless of the depth of hypnosis, I will employ such statements as an immortal being of pure light intelligence, allow your human consciousness to flow into this light, which is the real you. I may spend up to 45 minutes in deepening exercises involving long visualizations of beautiful mountain or beach scenes. The use of detailed imagery to alter the cognitive dimensions of experience and heighten emotional attachment is also performed in a progressive fashion. What I am seeking is the subject's total absorption into enchanting scenes where they see themselves moving toward a goal in the same manner that I later want them to experience with their spiritual journey home. I use pathways, stairways, escalators, sinking down into warm sand, soft grass, or pools of water, and always I have them floating to prepare them for the soul state. These progressive visualizations are also auditory and kinesthetic, and are intended to both deepen and prepare the subject for what lies ahead. Thus, aside from deepening, my visualizations are intended to be symbolic in an Ericksonian sense, since they are designed to facilitate passage into the ethereal realm of the spirit world. While I have been exposed to Ericksonian training, I do feel more formal, authoritarian hypnosis techniques are effective in LBL work. Nevertheless, I do utilize a metaphoric, permissive approach to visualization. I attempt to integrate my stories with the personality, interests, attitudes, and emotional levels of my subjects to convey meaningful messages. While I don't always succeed, my desire is to have descriptions fit LBL goals of safety, peace, and healing through the use of both direct and indirect suggestions with guided imagery. Here are two condensed examples. Now, I want you to see yourself moving out and away from this room, higher and higher into the distance, toward a range of mountains. Feel the soft, warm currents of air around you as you float past fleecy white clouds on a quiet, calm day. You feel weightless as you float and drift closer and closer to the mountains as you are carried forward without effort. Soon you pass the first range and drop down, lower and lower, where you can see a beautiful meadow in a valley below you. Pause. Lower, lower, and now you see that the meadow is completely surrounded by very tall, majestic trees. The meadow is a completely protected sanctuary. As you reach ground level and approach the meadow, you begin to float around the outside of this perfect circle of trees while you seek to find a single pathway through which you can pass through the circle to reach the center of this serene, magical place. I will go on with this story, working with finding the pathway as if an unseen power is directing my client. After this passage into the meadow, representing entry into the spirit world, I will introduce other symbols, such as the golden rays of the sun, forming a protective shield of warm light from high above, security, and mention the bright colors and fragrance of flowers and singing birds, enchantment. I may decide to place the client into a beach scene with endless miles of warm sand, unchanging tranquility, seagulls wheeling overhead, freedom, and the white foam, purity, of rolling ocean waves, comforting sounds. If the client is comfortable with water, I could introduce a freshwater pool into a scene, cleansing. The use of time in a scene denotes infinity. The following is a short excerpt of this sort of visualization. Feel yourself detaching more and more as you float downward, being able to breathe easily because it is as if you are floating through time and space with no effort. You feel gentle, warm currents around you, gently caressing your body as you drift down, down, seeing bubbles of translucent white roundness floating past as they rise higher and higher away from you, as you drop lower and lower. Soon you are completely immersed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, with your own inner illumination as you move through the water and out into the void of space and time. Time flows as a river passing us as we move through it, sometimes with the flow, sometimes across the flow, not resisting the flow, but rather just letting yourself go as you drift aimlessly, without care or concern, going to that special place where you need to be, as if in a dream. While extensive deepening techniques are an important factor in LBL therapy, I want to emphasize that the length of a 3 to 4 hour session creates a high degree of disengagement. The subject's mind becomes more dissociated from the body with an increase in linear time distortion. If you have conducted a shorter session or two with your client before actual spiritual regression, so much the better. But this does not mean you should rush visualization sequences in the longer LBL session to save time. During the spiritual regression phase, you will want to proceed slowly from scene to scene before reaching the client's past life death segment. During all this time, you may see the need to keep deepening. Combining counting with breathing is also very effective. Preparation for the transition into a past life is an example. Become more aware of your slow breaths. Each breath is taking you deeper. As I count from 10 down to 1, take a breath with each count and feel yourself moving further away with each number, closer and closer toward the tunnel of time waiting for you. I have mentioned how a subject's own mental compass within their higher spiritual self can assist them in reaching the depth they require for specific soul memories. Also, that one must always be aware of the two different magnetic energy fields which are activated between the minds of client and facilitator working together. I bring this concept up again to remind spiritual regressionists that the voice is another means of reaching through the subject's energy field and is useful in both removing emotional blocks and deepening. Pacing and voice usage. I try to match the vibrational resonance of my voice to the subject's voice tones to reflect their mood, to connect and assist them in entering the appropriate trance state. Your voice pitch and cadence begins with induction and continues as a powerful instrument of sound throughout the entire LBL session, providing both rhythm and momentum for the client. Carefully pacing a session and using different voice inflections involving the application of sharp, soft, encouraging, and calming techniques takes on greater hypnotic importance during a long mental journey. While you may not be fully aware of what a subject is experiencing at any given moment in spiritual regression, you want to convey the fact that you are always engaged and interested in what is going on with their processing. I work to pitch my vibrational voice tones to match both the sound and type of responses coming from my LBL subject. This begins with my first instructions to the client and is accelerated during deepening. Refinements in tone may be necessary as the session progresses and the reactions of the subject change. Before the arrival of my clients, I take a few minutes to exercise my voice range and sustain certain notes, especially in the lower registers. Calibrating my voice with that of the client from time to time fosters the merging of vibrational energy. Sound manipulation to synchronize with the ideas you are conveying is particularly useful with visual imagery. I think it helps with making images more identifiable and meaningful to the client. While scenes are unfolding in the subject's mind, a facilitator must try to keep pace with the subject's visual and emotional transitions from scene to scene. As your LBL subject is both connecting and integrating spiritual scenes, they may move quickly, at a moderate rate, or very slowly. I think it is desirable to match their tempo and volume with your own. It is best to be patient and wait until the subject has completely responded to a question before moving on to the next one. Final hypnosis instructions before regression. After considerable deepening through a long visualization, I give the LBL client the following series of instructions. I want you to trust your ability to look at the pictures you will see of yourself in different times and places and feel the emotions connected with these scenes and report back to me anything I wish to know without censorship. I will be your guide in our travels together, and others whom you have known and loved will join us, including your own personal guide, who will come to help me to help you and provide comfort and strength. In the beginning, just look at the scenes and tell me what you can with total confidence. As we progress, your memory will get better and better. You will see more, accept more, and have greater understanding about what you see and feel, so that soon you will be able to help me evaluate what you see and feel. And as you re-experience the feelings and emotions connected with earlier times and other bodies and all you have been before, you will begin to feel a positive release from any mental burdens from the past. All your memories will be placed in proper perspective and integrated into your life today to bring you into perfect harmony with yourself. Now, Before we move on, I want you to visualize that I am placing a powerful, translucent, golden shield of light all around you, from head to toe, protecting you from all outside forces and giving you warmth, radiance, light, and power. Should any negative memories of the past come to you, they will bounce harmlessly off your shield of protective light. Of course, there are many variations to these instructions, and I am sure you will develop protective mechanisms for LBL clients that suit your own style. For instance, there is another command at this juncture you might consider. A 3 to 4 hour LBL session is going to involve long conversations between you and your subject. Talking is not always easy for some clients when their trance state is deep. There are clients who have difficulty maintaining their level of hypnosis when made to talk extensively. My suggestion would be to state the following with all clients. You will be able to talk to me freely about anything without awakening. In fact, the long conversations we will have together will only serve to maintain and enhance your trance depth. During our time together, you will hear my voice clearly, and you will be able to talk to me clearly. Our private discussions will comfort you and assist in your disengagement with the outside world. Moving backward in time. One reason for starting with a client's childhood is to expedite easier memory warm-ups in preparation for more difficult recall later. Every therapist develops their own format. I begin by having the subject visualize a long, curving, golden stairway in the sky where each step represents a year of their life. You must check the age of your client beforehand. My instructions are as follows. We are going to go backward in time, year by year, to your childhood, to look only at happy memories. Your mind holds the memories of everything that you have ever experienced at the age that memory was recorded. You carry all these memories with you now in your more knowledgeable, comprehensive adult mind. As we descend this stairway back in time to your childhood, you will find yourself going deeper and further back with each count. It will be like I am turning the pages of an old photo album, where you will see yourself getting younger and younger, and then smaller and smaller as you move further and further downward. Any time I stop on any step, you will be the age you were then. If I sense the client is not as deep as they ought to be at this juncture, I may also give them an additional exercise involving counting. As I count from 5 down to 1, we will approach the top step of this long stairway while you continue to disengage more and more from your body. 5. Now detaching from your physical body more and more in a safe, relaxing way, deeper and deeper. 4. Transcending into the deep mental realms of your mind. 3. Letting go now, floating, floating toward the top step. 2. Feeling the lightness as you drift and float, floating free, now very close to the top step. 1. Before I begin counting backwards from the client's current age down the stairway of their life, I usually ask for an ideomotor signal, such as, raise the fingers of your right hand when you are ready to leave the top step safely and begin your descent with me downward and backward in time. If there is any hesitation, I may then turn the stairway into a rapidly moving escalator, where the subject will see themselves carried downward without the effort of taking steps. While counting backwards down the stairway, I often skip numbers and rapidly go to age 20, where I will slow down considerably. I might then stop at age 12 and suggest they float from the stairway to the front yard of the house or apartment where they lived at this age. I ask clients to describe the size and color of their house and if they see any tall trees to the left, right, or behind where they are standing. Moving into the house, I take a familiar room, like their bedroom, and ask about the position of the furniture, such as the bed and dresser in relation to the doorway. We look inside their clothes closet, and I question them about their favorite garment to wear for school or play. Transporting them back to the stairway to reach age 7, we then float forward to their house again, often another house, where I will only inquire about pets or toys. This first exercise of memory recall is focused on the client learning to identify objects and their physical position in relation to these objects, as well as seeing themselves changing in appearance with age. While preparing the subject for the type of spatial visualizations we will soon encounter from past life and spiritual memories, I am checking trance depth as well. For instance, if I ask a client at age 12 to identify her favorite piece of jewelry and she says, "Let me think. I can't remember if I had something I liked to wear," then I know they are using their conscious memory to try and recall past information, rather than an unconscious memory where they are actually reporting from the scene and giving me a rapid response. I will address conscious interference and client unresponsiveness in other sections as we proceed further. Right now, you should be aware that an inability to answer questions appropriately in a stage of childhood recall may be the first clear sign of a lack of proper trance depth, regardless of prior hypnosis testing and performance up to this moment. If all goes well, I then regress the client back to their earliest memory as a child and finally into the womb of their mother at the time just before their birth. I assure the subject this is an easy transition because they are now very young, 2 or 3 years of age, when we make this mental descent into the womb. Inside the mother's womb. There are clients who will have only vague recollections about being a baby in their mother's womb. This lack of awareness has little to do with trance depth. With these people, I only spend a few minutes asking if their arms, legs, and head are reasonably comfortable and what they hear and feel. "Can you hear your mother's heartbeat?" is one example. If the subject is unable to respond extensively in a fetal state, I don't push them because they may be a rather young or undeveloped soul. Feedback from inside the womb is my initial contact with the soul of a client and the first inkling I have about the particular stage of development of that soul. There's a great difference between one person explaining to me about how they are trying to calm an anxious mother and what they are thinking regarding the challenges of the life to come, and another whose only response is that they are in a dark limbo state, doing nothing and thinking of nothing before their birth. If I have an experienced soul, I turn my attention to a series of detailed questions involving soul integration with the brain. I make careful notes here, which I expect to use later in the more therapeutic portions of the session. The following are questions I have developed in these cases that appeal directly to the soul mind of the subject. 1. At what month did you first join the fetus? 2. What was your initial impression of the brain you now occupy? 3. Was it difficult or easy for you to trace the pathways of the electrical circuitry of this brain? 4. What is distinctive about this brain? 5. What have you learned about how the emotional system of this body affects the brain? 6. Overall, how did this body accept your soul integration, and was it difficult or easy? 7. How does this body compare with others you have occupied? 8. Does your soul mind feel this body is a good match or not, and why? 9. Why did you choose this body? I only ask the last question if I am receiving specific answers to my other inquiries. Otherwise, I will discuss the issue of body selection expectations later in the session. Near the end of the LBL session, when the client is looking at their adult current body for the first time in the life selection room, you may want to refer back to their responses from the womb to gain further insight. Often you will find there are inhibiting factors for soul integration in the mother's womb. Besides a resistant body-mind, or, as some clients say, a heavy, dense mind, there is a second factor that is restrictive to the soul during the fetal stage of life. The mother's mind may be closed down to her baby, either from emotional or physical trauma involving anxiety, fear, depression, anger, or simply not wanting the child. These negative factors may be evident with the first child of a very young mother, especially if she isn't married. There could be feelings of displeasure over being pregnant with an unwanted child late in life. If the mother is in a loveless marriage, this too may cause her to mentally shut down. Of course, the more experienced souls can override a great deal of emotional negativity from the mother, and later the world, for that matter, by the use of their refined energy fields. As a spiritual regressionist, it is expedient to inquire in advance about the early family dynamics of clients. This data may assist you in looking for both positive and negative aspects of energy integration between the soul and brain that began within the womb. I have listed examples of client reports from the womb in Destiny of Souls. For the purposes of this book, I offer another case sampling to demonstrate the quality of information a facilitator can obtain from certain clients. This report is an excerpt from the case of Nancy, whom I consider to be an artist of soul integration. Before entering the fetus, I usually observe the mother's body between the 3rd to 6th month. I allow my energy to filter in by stages to touch her mind first and then the baby's mind. I do this to harmonize my vibrations with both minds. This is how I prepare for a smooth integration. In my current life, my mother was anxious and emotionally distraught about me as her first child, so I sent out energy into her stomach and chest to loosen up the hardened energy patterns I perceived in these areas. It seemed to help. When I join with any child, I begin by focusing more on the chemistry and electrical impulses from its brain. Nancy told me the match in her current body was a good one, and the mind was not sluggish. So I asked if she had ever joined with sluggish minds in past lives and what she thought of these bodies. Here was her response. Sure, I have had sluggish brains in the past. In these lives, my soul needed to be more dominant, where I could impress myself easily on that sort of mind. In such cases, the game is to build strength, capabilities, and influence within a sluggish child. On the other hand, the challenge for a soul with a child who has a quick mind is to stay focused with all the impulses and thoughts of this baby and yet still remain flexible. The transition into a past life. There are significant reasons for taking an LBL client from their mother's womb into a past life before entering the gate to the spirit world. The most profound justification for this is the need for a person to experience a death scene in order to cross over naturally. My students ask, must the life be the client's most immediate past life? My answer is no, but I would prefer to use the most immediate past life whenever possible, primarily because the end of that life was the last time the client entered the spirit world. Their memories are inclined to be more fresh. Another reason I like to use the most immediate past life is for its usual relevance to the client's current life. There could be direct karmic issues affecting your client today, such as a negative former body imprint. Going to the source of a troublesome imprint would permit you to desensitize the physical and emotional residue. Although it is true you could do this later in the spirit world, a direct intervention during the actual reliving of this immediate past life would cause reframing to be more effective. Despite your intentions to enter the spirit world through the immediate past life, your client may override this suggestion and take you to an earlier life of more significance. While not common, it can happen. I have already told the client before starting hypnosis that moving through a past life is part of my sequence plan for their spiritual regression. Typically, I do not dwell on all the reasons why unless the client raises an objection. Once in a while, a client might say to you, "Look, I can get this past life regression at home," or, "I have had past life regression before. I came to you because you are a life between lives specialist. So why can't you just take me from my mother's womb directly into the spirit world to save time?" For some hypnotherapists, I know it will be a temptation to try and take people directly into the spirit world without going through a past life, especially if your client has asked you to do so. I have experimented with this approach, and I urge you not to do it due to the following drawbacks. A. Moving backward from a current life directly into the spirit world may cause confusion and disorientation in the mind of your average client. This is because they have arrived at the back of the spiritual house, so to speak, rather than through the front door. Our souls enter the spirit world from a death experience, and anything else is unnatural. While it is true that I could mentally return the client to the front gate, this awkward procedure takes time as well. After all, the past life experience will be an abbreviated one in LBL hypnosis. B. By rushing them directly into the spirit world, your client will miss all the beauty of what it is like to rise out of a body and cross over naturally into a celestial realm. They may arrive rather lost, with no one to meet them. They will not discover what stations are usual stopovers, or how they normally rejoin their spirit groups. From former death scenes, we learn how the individual soul usually enters the spirit world. Is it fast or slow? Do they typically hang around their death scene for a while to reach out to loved ones? Is their first contact with a guide or soulmates? C. Finally, reviewing a former life allows for more memory warm-up with the client before taking the big step of total immersion into the superconscious mind. A client who has not had past life regression before may be slow in responding to questions about what they see and feel, and so exposure to a past life experience in LBL hypnosis allows them to become more familiar with the process. Thus, they are more responsive to questions upon entering the spirit world. The question could be asked, isn't it just as abrupt for the client to be taken from the fetus into a past life as it is going directly into the spirit world from the womb? My answer is that there is a difference here, because with a transfer from the fetus to a past life, you are taking this being from one physical incarnation into another, with most clients not yet in a superconscious soul state. Consider also that involvement in a physical death scene gives subjects more time to adjust to being souls as they float out and hover over their bodies, as opposed to immediate entry into the spirit world from the womb. While a choice between these two techniques may not be as much of an issue with really advanced souls, they do not make up the majority of your clientele. The moment I begin to take the client from their mother's womb to a past life, I have them visualize a long tunnel that will transport them into their most immediate past life, or a life of greater significance if they prefer. They are going to be transported from the darkness of the womb into a time tunnel of darkness. These are my instructions. I want you to imagine we are now moving into a long tunnel which will take you into your most immediate past life. This time tunnel looks rather like a railroad tunnel, but is much smoother and cleaner. Visualize a perfectly rounded cylinder with an entry and exit. As we now move into the large round entry, you will notice that everything is black around us. As I count rapidly from 10 down to 1, you will see the curved walls getting gray, and then at the count of 5, very white. Then you will see a huge, round, bright opening at the other end, which we will pass through at the count of 1 into a significant scene in your past life. You don't know what that is now, but the moment I count 1, you will be in another time and place, in another body, but you will know it is you. If I am dealing with a sentient subject who does not produce visual imagery well, I will concentrate on touch, feeling, and emotion connected with passing through a dark tunnel. If there are difficulties here with a hesitant client, once again, as with the stairway, childhood, and womb scenes, I may request ideomotor finger signals, such as, raise the fingers of your right hand if you are ready to move with me at this moment through the tunnel of time. Raise the fingers of your left hand if you wish to wait until I start my count to begin this fascinating experience. Since I'm going to initiate counting almost immediately, these two narrow choices allow little time for resistance. The last of my tunnel instructions are as follows. 10. Out of the womb, into the dark tunnel. Now we are picking up speed. 9. Faster and faster. 8. Notice the walls are turning grayish. 7. 6. 5. The walls are now white, and you can see a huge, round, white opening in front of us, which will take you into an important past life scene. 4, 3, 2, 1. We now are outside the tunnel. For purposes of this audiobook, I want to concentrate on the methodology of life between lives rather than past lives. Therefore, I will only briefly describe my next series of questions once the client is mentally into their past life. 1. Tell me first if it is day or night. 2. Is it hot or cold? 3. Are you outside or inside? 4. Are you in a city, smaller town, or the countryside? 5. Are you alone or with someone? 6. How are you dressed? 7. Are you male or female? 8. Are you a small, medium, or large person? 9. What are you doing right now? Because of your instructions, most clients will take you to a significant scene in the life you or they have chosen, which is usually their most immediate past life. You must be prepared for some emotional event from this scene to unfold. Often, it is a death scene. You will want to learn their name, age, and family circumstances, as well as the date and geographic location, if possible, and the events leading up to this scene. I then inquire about people of consequence in this life. If the subject is responding well, with enhanced imagery and a high degree of involvement, I might also ask, who are the major characters from the past life in their life today? Successful responses here do not depend on the advancement of the soul, but rather on the hypnosis level of engagement. Thus, with some clients, this question must wait until they are in the spirit world. I try not to spend more than 15 to 30 minutes in this past life, because I want to take them to their death experience as rapidly as possible. From the opening scene, unless it is a death scene, I might move the subject forward in increments of 5 or 10 years for updates. At the appropriate moment, I will then say, "All right, now I want us to move to the last day of your life on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Describe what is happening." If they are dying of old age, I question them about their surroundings, if someone is in attendance, and how they feel. With more traumatic scenes of death, I will take them through the scene very quickly. Checking conscious interference. When I discussed taking the client down into their childhood earlier in the session, I stated that you must check to see if the subject actually feels and thinks they are the young person they once were, rather than consciously straining to remember earlier times and places. At that stage, the issue is one of trance depth. However, when you reach a past life, another problem of recall may become evident to you. This has to do with those few clients who produce faulty memories due to outright conscious interference. This matter of tainted reports needs to be cleared up before you proceed into spiritual regression. After regressing your subject into a past life, you must be watchful in checking to see if the client is recalling this life solely from historical details stored during their current lifetime. They may be using their imagination because of a conscious attraction to certain well-known events and familiar myths. Here, bias enters the picture. I call this phenomenon the Atlantis attraction because so many people are attracted to this story. You could first encounter this situation at intake when the client states, "I know we are going to find that I once lived in Atlantis." Their conviction centers around a desire to have once been part of a legendary early civilization on Earth. There is nothing wrong with a client having conscious prior knowledge about world history because this may help in identifying scenes of the past. However, you should be aware that some aspects of the past, even those that are mythological, could be so attractive to the client that it drives memory and distorts recall. The use of client idea motor signals to disrupt speech and thus disengage conscious thought interference is productive. I will illustrate an Atlantis attraction case as an example. Facilitator: "Where are you now?" Subject: "I'm in Atlantis." Facilitator: "All right. Let's stop for a moment. I want you to take your time here and think carefully about what you have just told me. We won't speak to each other again until you have reviewed all your memories to verify that you are in Atlantis. After you have finished your examination of just where you are, I want you to notify me by raising the fingers of your right hand. I will not speak again until I see your fingers move." Subject: After a long pause and raising fingers: "Oh, I guess I was wrong about Atlantis, but I seem to be a native on a beautiful island in the middle of an ocean." I will have more to say about Atlantis under the section Reviewing Past Life Incarnations, particularly with regard to hybrid souls. Another term I use for faulty reporting is the famous person syndrome. Clients in this category want to be famous people. Most past life practitioners have had a number of clients who stated they were famous people before further examination revealed this was not true. In one of my three Marilyn Monroe cases, my client subsequently found she was a housekeeper for the actress. This client's preconceptions were unraveled when I asked her to go back to a scene where other people were around Marilyn Monroe, and I told her to identify each person with my client as part of the scene. In Life Between Lives regression, the good news is that once in the spirit world, the conscious mind does not seem to interfere to any great degree with the superconscious, except when reviewing past life incarnations. A primary example of conscious interference that I deal with in LBL work with a small percentage of clients is reports near the first stop into the spirit world, where the client spontaneously states they are blue lights and therefore highly advanced. I did not have this problem before my books were published. Truths may initially be clouded by desired fantasies, strong belief systems, repressed fears, or simply unhappiness with a current life the client thinks is dull. Memories that you suspect are faulty through conscious misconceptions can be handled by gentle challenging or critical questioning. In past life and life between lives regression, you should avoid lengthy, complex questions directed at the subject. While you want to encourage them to elaborate about what they see and feel, as the facilitator, your questions ought to be short, simple, and direct. The secret to gaining accurate information is persistence and cross-checking. Moving back and forth in various time frames while going over the same ground is effective. Checking and reviewing their reports for consistency is very helpful to the subject as well. If you guide your subject carefully into their altered states and work through their perceptions and interpretations during past life recall, by the time the client reaches the gateway to the spirit world, they will be much better prepared for accurate reporting. My comments about faulty reporting may lead some people to question the validity of the whole process of hypnotherapy. This would be a wrong assumption because in my experience, only a small portion of my clients have any real conscious interference. People do not deliberately lie under hypnosis. Some, however, may misrepresent what they believe to be the truth. In most instances, conscious thought works in our favor. Take the issue of recalling geographic locations and dates. Critics of past life regression ask how someone reliving a life during ancient times can give us an accurate fix of where they are on a current map of the world. The answer lies in the fact that the conscious mind retains a modern knowledge of both geography and time frames. I am not saying recalling this information is made easy by the conscious mind. With dates, I often ask the client to visualize the numbers and then read them off to me one at a time. The following case demonstrates a confusion with dates that centered around mental interference involving shame and guilt from a past life. I had a client who was a 32-year-old Jewish woman born in 1964. In her immediate past life, she had been an Austrian soldier persecuting Jews in a concentration camp during World War II. In that life, she was born in 1920. When I asked, "How old were you when you died?" she said, much too quickly, 86. I realized this answer would have made her still alive in 2006, years beyond the time of our session. After challenging her, we learned that following the war, this former Nazi soldier committed suicide at age 42 in 1962 from remorse over his savage acts against Jews. 2 years later, this soul reincarnated as the person who would eventually be my Jewish client. On the other side of the coin, there are positive signs indicating credibility and recall to look for while you conduct your investigations. The following are three examples. A. Is the subject having an uncommon and disturbing experience over gender? A male subject could be reliving a former life as a female or vice versa. The internal struggle with your client here lends validity to the entire experience. B. Is there uncertainty in the beginning of a past life recall about the unfolding scene, which then evolves into a firm conviction? This is an indication of careful deliberation by the subject as they process their uncertainty, as with the case of Andy and Otis, cited earlier. C. Is there an emotional change from flat reporting to more intense feelings of personal involvement? This transfer means your subject is moving from detachment into more of a state of actual participation. In the section under client preconceptions, I discussed outside influences prior to the LBL session from the perspective of both client and therapist. However, during the session itself, conscious interference should be frequently monitored by checking on trance depth. For example, at the gateway, a depressed client, filled with religious insecurities and feelings of unworthiness, might expect to be taken to some dark, hellish place if their human psyche was still dominant. Asking your subject for clarifications based upon their own true inner wisdom, or perhaps working through a deeply bonded soulmate or spirit guide at the gate, begins the process of reducing psychological disruptions by ego filtering. This allows the subject to further dissociate from their temporary personality in this life in favor of their permanent soul identity. Generally, by the time your subject is in a deep superconscious state and recalling experiences from the spirit world, the higher soul self is now in dominance, and conscious interference will be greatly diminished or extinguished. Part 4. The Mental Gateway into the Spiritual World. Past Life Death Scenes. At the moment of death in a former life, I place my hand on the forehead of my client and declare, "You have just died, and because you have been through this experience many times before, I want you to move away from your body, feeling free, with no more physical pain or discomfort." The contact from my hand is intended to be a soothing energy transfer to engender acceptance and confidence. I appeal to the calm observer, more detached aspect of their mind by reminding the subject that this death is over and the life completed. At the same time, it is not my intention to soften too much of the actual drama of being in a body at one moment and out the next, because I want the client to experience vivid feelings in the first scene where they see themselves floating in a free soul state. Not only is every client different in the way they express their visualizations, feelings, and emotions in death scenes, but these same people have altered sensations between death scenes from life to life. Before proceeding beyond the death scene, I think it is appropriate to discuss the possible need for desensitization or deprogramming for the emotionally participating subject who is actually feeling the pain of a violent death to such an extent they may be inhibited from going further. Desensitizing trauma. Since desensitization is taught in most hypnotherapy courses for current and past life trauma, I will focus more on its applications to life between lives therapy. Emotional trauma from a death scene, such as suddenly being killed, can hinder a subject from moving away from their body. Surprisingly, most of your clients won't be inhibited in this way. Especially with your help, the average client realizes they are in a soul state and cannot be hurt anymore. They want to move on. It is because most subjects do desire a quick release from a death scene that you will be able to rapidly move them away from their body. But what if this does not happen? The purpose of desensitization is to take a traumatic event or repressed incident and allow the mind to digest it slowly in order to live without panic, fear, anxiety, or discomfort. In traditional hypnotherapy, the current life event causing psychological problems is approached in stages, starting with mild versions. The client is then progressively advanced to more potent versions, and finally to the source of the anxiety itself. The concept involves reliving the event to inhibit the emotional fight-or-flight reflex, and thus bring about emotional reframing so the client acquires a sense of personal safety in the present. Certainly, as an LBL therapist, you will encounter situations where deprogramming a negative body imprint from a former life will be part of the service you can render a client. For instance, I had a client who was unable to wear a watch or bracelets on her wrists because in her last life she had been tied with leather thongs by the hands to a post in the desert and left to die. Before she died in agony, she had struggled so hard to free herself that the bones of her wrists were exposed after the flesh was torn away. I desensitized this terrible scene. This was not required to get her to leave her body for the spirit world, but rather to alleviate the source of a physical discomfort today. I am not one of those therapists who believe it is necessary for the subject to be returned to a gruesome scene and made to suffer by living through it all over again. My approach is to allow the client to visualize the overall negative aspects of the event as a detached observer, while still recognizing their feelings. I have found this to be sufficient because the details of the incident have been brought to a level where they can be analyzed rationally to expunge the trauma. I believe this method is especially appropriate for LBL therapy. I often rapidly move through a past life death scene and have the client hover over their body in the soul state. The client is then able to integrate the painful elements connected with the traumatic scene more effectively because in the soul state, they have an awareness of their immortal self. Also, from the spirit world, it is easier and more effective to look at other lives. If necessary, we can return to a significant earlier life to locate the origins of a continually scarring karmic pattern. I'll take up the therapeutic aspects of soul healing later under Therapeutic Opportunities During Council Visitations in Part 5. Suffice it to say that recalling physical and emotional events about former lives when the subject is mentally out of body allows them to reach core issues related to karma, dissect them, and expose them to examination for meaning and purpose. Spiritual regression is a powerful mechanism for the release of latent trauma because so much about our existence involves personal choices we make as souls and the reasons behind them. Initial visualizations of the soul state. During a difficult death scene, or at the moment when a subject explains they have just died in a past life, I often mentally place an energy field of golden protective light around them. At the same time, I announce to the client that their personal spirit guide is well aware they have died and is nearby. Then I say to my subject, "You have just physically died, and as you move out of your body, you will be able to continue to talk to me and answer my questions, because you are now in touch with your inner, true self. Feel your mind expanding into the highest levels of your being. Looking down at your body, you may perceive some brief sadness at this moment, but your spirit has been through this experience before, and now you are able to return home. You can just float away when you are ready, leaving all physical pain and discomfort behind. At this point, I changed the tempo of my questions and dropped the level of my voice tone. Now I move more slowly, especially with a younger soul, and my questions are very deliberate. After all, your subject has just come face to face with their immortal ego, and they need some time to adjust to being in a disembodied state. Keep in mind that in past life regression, it is easier for the subject to be moved from body to body, from life to life, as opposed to having no body at all in their life between lives. This is because your subject, after all, is still a physical being. If a client tells you, "I am moving out of my body, but I don't know where I am," simply reassure them that everything is normal. I would then add, "While I remain silent, just look around and report back the first thing you see." You will find that most souls are usually on the ceiling of the room where they died or hovering over their body if death occurred outside. The following series of open-ended questions are examples of what I ask the client at a death scene. 1. Where are you now in relation to your body? 2. Is anyone in the room or near your body if outside? 3. If the answer is yes, tell me about this person or persons near you. Who are they? 4. What do you see around you? Or, what are you aware of? 5. What are you feeling? 6. What is happening now? Then what happens? What is happening that you haven't yet told me about? 7. How do you feel about your death? As I have said, if the client did not expect to die at that particular moment, they may resist moving away from their body because of sadness or unfinished business. Perhaps they died while still quite young, or were surprised by a sudden accident, or were murdered. Still, desensitization is often unnecessary. In these cases, I remind the subject that they probably knew in advance this life would be short, and when they arrive home, they will be able to talk to their guides about the circumstances. Unless they are inexperienced souls, the average client adjusts rather quickly to any sort of physical death. With most clients, I find it is best to keep them suspended near their body while giving them time to collect their thoughts. This is the time for reassuring your subject if they seem confused or disoriented. Once a soul is oriented to the entire death scene, I rapidly summarize what we have learned about their immediate past life. The client may wish to correct something they said to me about the life and the people in it. Now we have the opportunity to talk about the ultimate purpose of this life. Certainly, you could wait until later to review the life just lived, but I find this is a potent time to discuss whether they feel the life was a success or not in terms of pre-planned goals. Since they have just finished mentally being in a past life, the scenes are still vivid and may have ramifications in their life today. There will be more time during the client's orientation and debriefing to cover the life just lived in greater detail, should you wish to do so. I plan to review the client's overall progress in all their former lives thoroughly at other places in the spirit world, particularly during their appearance in front of the council. I do not wish to delay the session for very long at the death scene, and yet this time of reflection allows the subject space to adjust and visualize themselves as a soul while they are still near their body. I feel this is an added benefit for an immediate past life review. Once a client visualizes their soul leaving the body, but while they are still in Earth's astral plane, an extremely rare phenomenon in spiritual regression may occur that is known as spirit attachment. I am often asked about soul attachment and releasement by LBL practitioners because so much has been made of this topic in metaphysical writing, some of which is unnecessarily sensationalized. On very rare occasions, your LBL client's first visualizations of the spirit realm will involve seeing a disturbed spirit close by them. Your client may call them a dark soul. Typically, this unhappy spirit is related to your client by blood, or they could be a spouse or friend. They may have nothing to do with a client's past life, since we have now passed into the now time of the spirit world. Most clients who have this uncommon experience are just rather curious about what is going on. However, other highly susceptible people, many of whom have preconceptions, often from religious indoctrination as children, about the existence of demonic, malevolent forces around us, could react negatively to the experience. In those infrequent situations where it becomes necessary to take action in dealing with a lost soul that is interfering with your client's movement into the spirit world, you should begin with calming techniques. I would first explain that this spirit is not going to possess your subject, nor are they a demonic evil force. This soul is unhappy and needs help because they are not yet ready to leave Earth. You will find they are generally obsessed by an event at their death which they have not released, such as being murdered, committing suicide, or feeling troubled by a loved one they perceive is in danger. My views on this issue are expressed in Destiny of Souls under the section on demons or devas. I would give your client gentle, appropriate suggestions, such as the following. Let's relate to this troubled spirit by connecting with their energy field so we can find out who they are, what they want, why you are seeing them at this moment, and what you can do to help them move into the light. One of my LBL colleagues wisely said, "While these entities may look, feel, and act like empirical entities, in most cases they represent personifications or archetypes from the client's own ongoing personal history as a soul." Instructions for soul departure. In preparing the client for their withdrawal away from Earth, each therapist will want to design instructions to suit their own tastes and methodology. Perhaps you will need to employ variations in your standard procedure that would be more helpful to specific clients. Below are my own instructions, and their timing at this stage of the session is a serious consideration. Typically, I incorporate these instructions at the gateway. Nevertheless, with certain clients, you might find soul state instructions to be more effective if they are incorporated a little further along in the crossing phase. It depends on how much the subject is caught up in the moment. The instructions are in four parts. 1. You are now fully in a soul state, directly connected to the highest consciousness of your mind, which is like a vast computer holding all the stored knowledge of your entire existence. As an eternal, timeless being, you have the ability to look forward and backward in physical time and be a part of any life you have ever lived before, and to understand the events that shaped your immortal character. You will know the significant people who were with you in those lives, and you will have the capacity to see these individuals as souls in the spirit world.